been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It's the Thursday, July the 13th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. The breakout continues after cooler than expected CPI yesterday, cooler than expected PPI today. Now we can start worrying about next month's CPI and PPI. The Dow is up 99 bottles of beer on the wall. It's 34,447. The breakout in the Dow continues. The S&P 500 up 23. Despite Mike Wilson at Morgan Stanley, it is at 4,495 now. Getting into some valuation issues, though, I've been saying that. The NASDAQ is up 119. It continues to break out. The NASDAQ up 0.9%. Guess what? It's back above 14,000 now as we'll start thinking about its all-time high, which was above 16,000 at one point in time. 14,041 is where we're at on the NASDAQ. Crude oil's up 48 cents. The climb in oil continues. Will that bring back inflation? $76.23. Man, we were in the mid-60s not that long ago. Gold's up $1.50 to 1963. And the 10-year is down now 25 basis points since CPI came out. We're at 3.81% today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Barry, the market absolutely got it wrong, their expectations for the CPI and the PPI. Because, look, we've taken 25 basis points, which was the hike they had built in, out of the market here in the last few days.
Right, which rose, you know, kind of that initial was was the ADP report, which we've, you know, which the market really hadn't put any onus in for I don't know how long, right?
I know.
We kind of make fun of it for a while, and, you know, somehow it came in with a, you know, a hot number, and so rates began to rise, and, of course, once the next non-farm payrolls came out, you know, CPI, PPI are both lighter here, and I mean, you know, even the initial jobless claims, which came in, you know, less than expected, is actually, you know, still at 237, which is higher than, say, the 180 or 190 we were at, you know, four or five months ago. So, you know, really, and you look at even the beige book yesterday, it's almost, it kind of is a soft landing. At least, you know, at least that's what it looks like, or at least it looks like it's on approach, put it that way.
All right. Do you listeners get my newsletter every Saturday? Here's what I said about the bond market. The bond market is now in a number four downtrend. The bond market looks oversold to me. This would be a good time to buy some individual bonds. The bond market has now made a golden cross, which it did actually a couple months ago. We put out a buy signal basically on the bond market. If that's your cup of tea, and we picked up a few more for our, you know, our safer investors, people that want to invest in safer and less volatile instruments than NVIDIA and Microsoft, etc. And I also said that the yields in the bond market are now 4.06. That's where we were on Friday. Where are we today? 3.80. That's a 26-point move, which is a big...
Move in the bond market.
That's a big move, and that means the bonds you own, you know, have come roaring back, okay? The bond market actually was up 33 basis points in a few days last week. And I said, well, you know, interest rates are in a number two uptrend, but they're running into resistance. And you can see the line I drew. This is probably the top. And I've been saying to my subscribers and on Twitter, saying, you know, the bond market looks like it has bottomed. And this is a good opportunity to buy, you know, interest rate sensitive investments, which there's a lot of those. It's not just the bond market. REITs, other things are interest rate sensitive, utilities, etc. And there's been a big rally in the interest rate sensitive area of the market since the bond market bottomed last week and interest rates peaked. Okay, so yesterday.
And that yesterday, situation happened quickly, right?
Quickly. They had it wrong, okay? The NASDAQ was up 158 yesterday. The Dow was up 86 yesterday. It's up again. They're both up again today, about the same after a cooler-than-expected PPI report. The gap between the 2-year and the 10-year has now narrowed to just 80 basis points. For me now, the biggest worry out there is the forward P.E. ratio of the stock market, of the S&P 500. That becomes the biggest worry. Now, as companies report, if we have a really good solid quarter here over the next, you know, 8 weeks or so of earnings reports, that could bring the forward P.E. down. Because when you divide the current price of the S&P divided by forward estimates, you get a forward P.E. So now, really, the focus, now that we've kind of put the inflation thing to bed, at least for 30 more days, now we can really worry about earnings, okay?
Yeah, EPS instead
EPS.
Of CPI and PPI.
And EPS comes in one stock at a time. Okay, so we extend the rally. We are extending the rally again today. The producer price index comes in less than expected in June. We were expecting 0.2%. It came in at 0.1%. Almost, you know, back to no rise at all. Almost at zero, okay? And
lowest since 2000, but I mean since 2020, by the way.
Yeah, okay. So and we predicted a lower-than-expected PPI because the PPI generally is out in front of the CPI. So to get this lower than expected PPI, that also bodes well for next month's CPI. If you can keep it all straight, have some alphabet soup for lunch and some what is that cereal with all the alphabet cereal
yeah,
and whatnot. You can arrange them in your milk bowl. You know, you can't even get milk anymore. Everything comes from a plant. My steak, my burger, my milk. You know, what are we doing? French inflation drops to 4.5% in June. Now, that's shocking because Germany was at 6.5%. It's amazing how there's a huge difference between these countries in the EU.
And they border. I mean, they border each other. The trick there is they all share the share an economy, right? You know, they all have
yes.
their own different economies, but at the same time, they're all sharing a similar currency. And so the trick with that whole deal is, I mean, you've got – you know, you may need, you know, say one country may need stimulus in the form of lower interest rates, right, at the EU for, you know, at the ECB. The other one may need higher interest rates, right, to fight inflation. And how do you, you know, how do you control that mix, right?
And you've got one EU, and that's
right.
why, you know, the UK, another alphabet soup, decided to leave the EU.
Right.
Or not leave it. Yeah, left it, Brexit.
Yeah,
because they felt like one size does not fit all. Okay, so now, besides earnings, you know, we will watch inflation. I mean, it's still not gone entirely, but man, I'll tell you what, things have really cooled off here in the U.S. and in France. 4.5, they're down about where we are now. We're somewhere in the mid-4s. Now we got to start worrying about the global economy and EPS. China trade surplus smaller than expected amid persistent global demand. So that number caught my eye. I mean, China was expecting to export $75 billion worth of goods, and instead they exported about 70. That's a pretty big miss, actually, $5 billion. That's just in 1 month. You know, that has really nothing to do with China. That has everything to do with the people that buy from China. So there's something to worry about. You know, we always are going to give you something to worry about at night about your portfolios. And it seems like not only is there weakness in China still, but there's also weakness in the buyers, China's customers. But, you know, having said that, oil is another indicator of global demand, and oil continues to move up. Now it's at $76 per barrel. If you're worried about, you know, the driver of economies around the world, the consumer, we continue to see a consumer is very strong. Amazon sets a Prime Day record. I pitched in. What did I buy? I must have bought something on Amazon yesterday. Oh, I ordered my shoes again. I'm going to try it again. That are so hot. July 22nd, I'll be reporting in on how I improve my time in the mile. You know, I'm trying to get it under 12 minutes, not under 4 minutes like they used to. Somewhere in there with my new shoes coming from Deckers Outdoor via Amazon.
Like, we'll be right.
To the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. We have a very strong day taking place in the market today. So the NASDAQ strong, the NASDAQ strong, S&P strong. They're all breaking out from a technical point of view. Oil is strong also, and it seems like the consumer is strong. We left off with Amazon. They had the biggest single day, the largest sales day in company history. Wow. Over the course of the two-day shopping event, the Seattle-based e-commerce giant said Prime members purchased more than 375 million items worldwide. That's in 2 days.
That's items?
Yeah. Yes. Can you imagine delivering all of those?
Well, yeah.
There's the biggest issue, but they seem to do it, and they saved more than consumers saved more than 2.5 billion on deals across the Amazon store. Amazon offered more deals than any past Prime Day event, with home, fashion, and beauty among the top selling deal categories. So there you go. Let's just see. Let's see. Amazon noted that it gave exclusive access to this from a variety of brands like Bose, Crocs, Hey Dude, Theragun, Yeti, Peloton. Victoria's Secret also had a notable presence on Amazon Prime Day. Now let's check in on Amazon stock, which actually is right there. Amazon stock is breaking out to a new 52-week high today. It's up 2.2% at 133.60. Very strong, powerful chart on AMZN. Okay, there's a lot of AI news today and yesterday. Google launches AI bot Bard in Europe. Now, Barry, you and I had dinner with someone who works for Google recently, and she was telling us about how Google's AI, it's going to be a powerhouse of
right.
an AI.
And how their slower rollout was really more, not that they didn't have the technology, it was more to ensure that it was ready for prime time, if you will.
Yes, they launched it in Europe. And in Brazil, they said that their AI tool can now be interacted with in over 40 languages. And it includes new features such as using images in chat. And, of course, Google is a unit of Alphabet, G-O-O-G-L. Last time I looked, G-O-O-G-L was having a very good day also. Google is having a monster day. In fact, on that news, we own Google.
Yeah, up over 3% at the
look
moment.
Look at that, 3.7% on 1.4 times normal volume. And we've been saying that it was just a matter of time before, Google unleashed Bard, for better or worse, on the world. And now here it comes. It's coming out. in two countries so far, well, in two areas of the world, Europe and Brazil. Now, Microsoft-backed OpenAI, which is ChatGPT, is reportedly under investigation by at the FTC. Well, you know what? Google or Microsoft, Google, Meta,
they're always under some type of investigation.
And, you know, a $200 million fine will help take that investigation away, get rid of it. Microsoft is up less than 1% today. You know, they were first out of the gate with ChatGPT. It was a game changer in the AI space.
I saw where some writers were actually, I guess, filing suit against some AI technologies in terms of scrubbing their books without, you know, maybe paying for them or,
really?
You know, yeah. So there's some, there's a few, some essentially content wars, right? I mean, you're going to have, you know, folks are going to want to be compensated for what they've, you know, essentially what they're adding, I guess, in terms of data to the whole, you know, algorithm, right?
Well, if you can work it out, get ChatGPT to take your SAT test because it can outperform more than 90% of all people. If you can just figure out how to, you know, plug that in when you're there taking that ACT test. Now, the other thing is Meta. Don't count Zuckerbucks out. Meta mulls the launch of the commercial AI model. Okay, so Meta made big news headlines over the last couple of weeks with their rollout of Threads. They now plan to release a commercial version of its artificial intelligence model, which would enable startups and businesses to develop custom software on top of the technology. Says the Financial Times, the move would help them compete with Microsoft and with Google. So Meta wants in, and of course, I mean, it's only, that just seems like a, you know, logical thing. That comes as no surprise. It was kind of a surprise that Threads came out, and, you know, so 100 million people was the last number I saw.
Yeah, faster than the chat GPT,
yes.
Right?
Now, wait a minute. We're not done with AI yet. You know who else is going to have his own AI. You know this. This was coming. Elon Musk unveils X AI to understand reality and the true nature of the universe. Okay. Now, see, I'm one of these guys that says, well, you should read Genesis, okay, in the Old Testament. That's where I come from. But I don't know about Elon Musk. He's going to get software. He's going to invent his own. Now, but think of it, you know, I got to believe that there's going to be a big round of funding into Elon Musk AI, and someday it will be either a SPAC or an IPO, and it'll just increase the richest man in the world's net worth. He's into everything, Elon Musk is. Twitter and Tesla CEO Elon Musk unveiled a new company on Wednesday. Okay, this is in addition to SpaceX. This is in addition to Tesla. This is in addition to Solar City. This is in addition to, what's his, internet?
X-Corp. Well, you get it. Well, oh, Starlink.
Starlink, which I have here at my house. Now he'll have XAI. Okay. Ah, good old Elon getting in on the AI boom. And here's, if you think Tesla's done, you know, he's dotting the world with gigafactories. His next venture, Tesla eyes producing 500,000 vehicles per year locally in India. So now he's got his gigafactory in Shanghai, he's got his gigafactory in Austin, Texas, he's got his gigafactory in Germany. Now he's aiming for India, where I think a few people live. You know, well, doesn't India have as big a population as China?
They've got a billion behind the number.
Maybe Kathy Woods is right. This will be a $2,000 stock over the next. I don't think it'll get there, but What can I say? Musk is one of the biggest powerhouses of our time. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where the seems like the big just keep getting bigger. You know, even though they come after them and they try to stop them from buying companies or getting into other businesses, they just continue to swallow up and become bigger. Amazon is a perfect example. Tesla is a perfect example. Microsoft is a perfect example. Apple is a perfect. All of these big, large companies just continue to expand into other people's spaces, and because of their dominance are able to just crush the competition in some cases. Look at Microsoft, okay? Yesterday I was sitting looking through my charts to go, why are all the cybersecurity stocks getting slammed today? We own one, I believe, maybe two.
T-A-N-W, right?
Yes, and they're getting slammed. I go, what in the heck is going on here? Well, Microsoft's secure service offering is a manageable threat for Zscaler, Palo Alto, says Bank of America. Microsoft announced yesterday that it's expanding its Entra identity and access management offerings to push into the secure service edge market, otherwise known as cybersecurity. And that hit stocks like Zscaler and Palo Alto Networks and a few others. And now you've got analysts weighing in on that. Bank of America's weighing in and said that I wouldn't be too worried. Palo Alto should be just fine. Zscaler should be just fine. And, of course, there's a lot of other ones. But these were the main two yesterday that sold off. So now if we look at Palo Alto today, which sold off yesterday, wow, it's storming back. Mm-hmm. It's up 3.9% today.
Yep.
Because Bank of America came along and said, you know, yeah, sure, there's more competition, but, you know, these other companies, should have minimal effect.
And so maybe it'll be, you know, maybe be accretive for, you know, Microsoft and not hurt Palo Alto as much.
But it seems like there's plenty of cybersecurity to go around.
Right.
We had recently had this attack on all of these different entities by China. Cybersecurity is a big, big issue. Yeah. Okay, now, as far as the big getting bigger, of course, now they're trying to step in and stop the last-minute Microsoft-Activision deal. The FTC lost in court to Microsoft, but now they've decided to appeal the decision. That one's been going on for a long time.
Well, yeah, and obviously the UK, we're making it, kind of nixed it. And then, of course, it looks like Microsoft's going to make a few divestments in the business to kind of appease the UK regulators. And then you thought it was going to get closer to the finish line, of course. And then now, like you said, it's being appealed again. So.
Well, okay, and here's the interesting part of this story. The Microsoft $69 billion deal has a termination date of next Tuesday.
Oh, I didn't...
And indications are that the company would like to close on acquiring Activision by Monday. So the lights will be on at whatever courthouse, wherever they're filing this appeal.
Yeah, how does that work?
They've got to get an injunction to stop this deal. I'm sure it will happen. Because it almost seems like the U.S. government can kind of pick a judge, right, that will be more favorable to them. That seems to be the way our judicial system works these days. But, you know, we'll see. I'm pretty sure that they'll get some kind of a stop to the deal, which will close Monday if they don't. Bob Iger, I don't know if this is good news or bad news, Bob Iger is to continue as the Disney CEO until the end of 2026, at least, okay? They extended his employment agreement. He hasn't done a very good job, in my opinion, so far. We pulled the plug on the stock several months ago. I thought maybe he would come back, restore the magic, the Disney magic, but I just don't see it. Now their theme parks are struggling a little bit. Well, you know,
that ticket price.
Oh my gosh.
It's just, if you've got like, a family for one of it's one, it's, nope. it's affordable. But other than that,
and you go to Florida and there's four theme parks, you know, and you got to buy a pass for all four. It's like mind-boggling. Okay, now the other area of the market that I've been talking up quite a bit recently is this energy service sector, the energy service stocks. One of the hot ones, Weatherford. They secure a 5-year contract from Petrobras in Brazil. Okay, that's a big contract. Weatherford is hitting a new 52-week high here today. That's a stock that basically went bankrupt back in 2020 when it got down to $1 a share, split adjusted. Weatherford, WFRD, was $1 per share, and now it's $75 per share. And hitting a new 52-week high, and it's one of the players right now in a very, very hot space in the market. Energy service, Halliburton, SLB, and Weatherford is just one of the names in that space.
And you see the Plug, talking about energy, Plug Power won a big, contract in Europe. I think one of the biggest ever. I think they're up over 10% or so today.
Yeah, that's a fuel cell, hydrogen fuel cell. And, of course, Elon Musk is famous for calling it fuel cells.
Right.
We really don't know, whether or not it's cost effective. We'll see. Now, the one that the Reddit fans are into these days, now that Bed Bath & Beyond is no longer a player, it goes from 1 to 2 cents every day, somewhere in there. Carvana is the one they love to mess with. Carvana has never made a profit. They sell used cars. They deliver them to your door. It's kind of just a new
cool glass
bells
machine.
And whistles, right, yeah, on a right. used car model. Carvana is down 6.4% today. You've got speculative buying, the Reddit crowd, and short squeezes, and they kind of go back and forth. It's one of the most shorted stocks in the entire market. And so you have the Reddit people come in and gang up and try to drive the shorts out, and then you have the short sellers come in and try to squish the people that are long. 63% of the shares are sold short. Ouch. Versus 13% for rival CarMax. So this is one of the most shorted stocks in the entire market. How about gold? Let's just look at gold has had a pretty good... gold has done well after the CPI report and the PPI report. Barrick Gold is on track to hit full-year gold copper production guidance. We don't have any exposure to the precious metals at the current time. Let's just take a look at Barrick Gold, which the symbol is gold, I believe, G-O-L-D. It tracks the price of gold. That's it. I don't like it. Goldman Sachs drives up higher after an upgrade. Well, that's a big central banks. And I bring that up because tomorrow we're going to get J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, earnings season. It began today. We had several earnings today. We had American Airlines. No, we had Delta. Okay, Delta came in. So here's the start to earnings season. Delta flies higher. Now it's down, actually, but it beat earnings expectation. Pepsi, another member of the S&P 500, beat earnings expectations. ConAgra beat earnings expectations. They beat by 3 cents. And then the last one here is Fastenal. These are the four.
Yeah.
Fastenal in line with revenue. So you've got the first four or five in now. And some others have trickled in before this. So we'll at least be able to see some kind of change in the numbers this weekend. That number's been dormant for about 4 or 5 weeks while we wait for the earnings to come start flowing in. And now they're flowing in. And
yeah,
now that number's going to start moving.
Delta came in, you know, they came in 10% higher on EPS. It beat by 29 cents. But
the airlines are
always a tricky space to invest in.
It's tricky, but they're doing very well because the consumer is doing very well. And tomorrow, of course, is the big day. Really, I mean, that's the official kickoff of earnings season. Although those are pretty important companies that reported today. We got 500 to go through. I would say maybe 20 have reported so far, maybe 4% of the S&P 500. By the end of the day tomorrow, we may be up to 5, 6, 7% of the S&P 500 and get an early indication. Usually the early indication holds true throughout the entire earnings season. So that will be interesting. This will be an important newsletter. Get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. Final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. What's on the move here today? Well, we look at the Dow, okay, which is doing good. I mean, it's not like roaring, but it did begin to break out again to new highs, 52-week highs on Wednesday after the PPI, and it's breaking out again today. Meaning breaking through that resistance. Oh, the Dow's been in a long sideways trend. You know, while the NASDAQ has been speeding down the track, the Dow has been spinning its wheels for the most part and is basically even for the year. Maybe it's up 3 or 4%, something like that. And the Dow is now finally starting to break out of that sideways trend. It's up 85 points today. Microsoft is leading the way. It's up 1.2%. There's a lot of drama between now and Monday with the Activision deal. And now the government investigating Microsoft over privacy concerns with their ChatGPT. And, of course, Microsoft's going to be facing more competition here in the AI space with their ChatGPT from Google's Bard. Whatever Meta comes up with, and now Elon Musk. The other winner on the Dow today, DuPont up 1%. Salesforce, let's stop on Salesforce just for a minute. Why? For me, that's one of the best stocks in the entire market right there. Bang, Salesforce, CRM, which is a member of the Dow. It's a $230 billion company. Of course, Salesforce makes CRM. But they're also kind of a powerhouse. I can see Salesforce getting to a lot of other areas.
It's like a bigger ServiceNow almost.
Yes,
you know?
Mark Benioff is the CEO. Mark Benioff is a big player in the World Economic Forum. He's a controversial guy. I'm just looking at the stock chart. That's one of the best stock charts in the entire market, CRM. Okay, on the downside,
they can they're one of the companies that can benefit from, you know, AI, because you've got, you know, obviously the you know, in terms of software, right? Their software, they could make, you know, they could actually you know, be one of the winners down the road in that.
Well, you'd think AI would be a big help in, you know, say you've got this database of customers or prospects, right? And you're you know, that's an important thing. When you call a company, they can look you up and see the last conversation they had with you, so you don't have to start all over from scratch. And of course, all of these sales forces across the world, you know, AI would help narrow down, for instance, chronic complainer. I don't know.
Efficiency. The most, yeah, a lot of those things, right.
Don't waste any more time calling this person. Whatever the case may be. Okay, now, Travelers is down one, Exxon down one, so there's a little consolidation taking place in the energy patch today. Over at the S&P 500, Alcoa is the big winner today. It's up five. Look at that, up 5.2%. That's a very good bottoming chart. Just, I'm not looking at it from a fundamental point of view, which is the other half of the equation, but just looking at the chart, that's a pretty good chart for Alcoa, not one of my favorite stocks. The other one that's having a really good day is Google. And, wow, look at that. That's one of our largest holdings. Yeah. Google's up 4.3% today. Good news from Bard, opening up in Europe and in Brazil. And, wow, that's to me, the two best-looking charts of the day, Google and Salesforce. Also in the Dow or the S&P 500, MGM Grand, wow. Breaking out to a new 52-week high. Now, is there a better indicator of a strong consumer than MGM Grand, which, you know, is high-level entertainment, hotel, 29,000 slot machines, 2,000 table games, 2.6 million square feet of casino space and rooms. Breaking out to a new 52-week high. Wait a minute, is that an all-time high? Almost. So MGM Grand up 3.9%. Applied Materials up 3.2%. Etsy up 2.9%. On the downside, the disaster of the day. We owned this stock at one time as Progressive. Isn't that Flow?
Yeah, that's Flow.
Auto insurance, well, Flow needs some new makeup or something. Look at this stock down 11.6% today as they miss. Let's see what else. Big Lots is down 5.4. Worst looking chart of the day, Progressive. Now, at the NASDAQ, Google is the big winner of the day, up 4.4%. Here's another example of a strong consumer, and here's another good chart, Expedia. Expedia is trading at a P.E. of 16, which in this market is fairly reasonable. Expedia has a golden cross taking place. That's also an excellent chart on Expedia, which obviously competes with Booking. Booking is also having a very good day, another indication of a strong consumer. And then in the tech space, NVIDIA's up 2% and Amazon's up 2%. The only other one of note I'm seeing today here, and all of these stocks in this space have been doing well, Redfin is breaking out to a new 52-week high, even though there's very little inventory out there. And I've also been watching Zillow break out. Well, this has been a lot of fun. We'll have to come back again and do this tomorrow. Now, if you missed the shows, obviously I archive every show to my website, GundersonCapital.com. They're on all the podcast sites around, Spotify, Apple, etc., Podbean. And, of course, the newsletter comes out every Saturday. There's no lack of content or direction coming out of the Gunderson right. Capital Management team.
Brain dump. If you want to know what we're thinking, right, you got the ability to.
That's right. You can look right inside my brain and see the rocks. Now, you get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to talk to us about putting our brains to work for you and, you know, our knowledge of the market and our vigilance of the market, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. I'm looking forward to the new earnings estimates, which will have a little bit of move in those tomorrow because we've had several companies in the S&P 500 report today with more on the way tomorrow. Looking forward to a fun earnings season. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.